The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Start to study the building of the Mishkan of the sanctuary, and all of its kelim, its various vessels and objects. This became the Beis HaMikdosh, the temple, when Klal Yisrael later went into Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. But now we're speaking while they were still in the desert. Actually, this parsha takes place immediately after the giving of the Torah, after the second Luchais, the second tablets, which took place right on Yom Kippur. So this parsha takes place immediately after Yom HaKippurim. First, the Torah tells us, Daber al b'nei Yisrael yichli truma, that you shall take upliftings from Klal Yisrael. And what were the upliftings? The various materials which were needed for the building of the Mishkan of the sanctuary. Then in Posuk Yud, it states, also Aren Atzei Shittim. The first object that was to be made was the Oren. The Oren was an ark. Its purpose was to hold the Sefer Torah, which Moshe wrote when was taught the Sefer Torah from Hashem, and also the tablets and the broken tablets. Also, Aren Atzei Shittim, you shall make an Oren from Shittim wood. It should be 2.5 amos long. An amos is approximately 22 inches. It should be 2.5 amos long, and an amon and a half wide, and an amon and a half high. And you shall overlay it with pure gold. It should be made out of gold, both on the outside and the inside. And you shall make on it a golden crown around it. And you shall cast for it 4 rings of gold. And you should put it on the 4 corners of the Oren. This was the 4 upper corners of the Oren. 2 rings should be on one side and 2 rings on the other. And you should make staves out of this sheeting wood, with sipisa isom zohov, and this also you should overlay with gold. And the staves would go through the rings, to carry the oren when you would go. See, they were moving from one place to the other. But in the rings of the oren shall remain the staves. They shall never be removed. And you shall take the Eidos, the testimony, that's the Sefer Torah, which I shall give you, and put it into the Oren. And you shall make a kaporis out of pure gold. This was a covering for the Oren. It was the exact same dimensions as the Oren itself. So you had a pure gold top, which fit right on top of the Oren. And from this gold, you shall make 2 kruvim. Kruv means child. 2 images in the image of children. One, a small boy, and another was a small girl. And they should be made right from the gold. Mikshotasa isomishnek seisa kaporis. It shall be hammered out right from the gold. It shall not be made and attached later. And you shall make one image on one side, and the other image, the other child on the other side. From the kapores you shall make the kruvim at the two ends. And these two kruvim shall have wings. And they shall spread out their wings, lemalo, upwards, they should cover the top of the oren with their wings. One should face the other, ala kapores yu pnei hakruvim. And to the kapores, they should be the faces of the kruvim. Venosato es hakapores al ha'oren melmolo, and you shall put the kapores on top of the oren from the top. Ve'alo oren titen eso edus asherete nelecho, and into the oren you shall place the testimony which I shall give you. Vene aditi lecho shom, and I shall make myself known to you there. Vidibalti itcho me ala kapores, and I shall speak to you, I shall speak with you from on top of the kapores, mi bein shnei hakruvim. My voice shall come right between the two images, the two children, asher al aron ha'edus, which are on top of the oron. Eskol asher atzav eskol b'nei Yisrael, all that I command Klal Yisrael, my voice would come from there. So this is the first object that we were commanded to make, and this was the Oren HaKodesh, with its kapores, with its golden top, and with its kruvim, it's the images of the two children, and from there HaKodesh Baruch Hu would speak to Klal Yisrael. The Oren HaKodesh was placed in the most holiest part of the Mishkan. The Mishkan basically had two chambers. It had one chamber as you came into it, and this was called the Kodesh, the Holy. Then there was a curtain, a pareches. Then it had an inner chamber, which was known as the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. And here is where the Oren was placed, and only the Oren. There was nothing else in the inner chamber. And in this inner chamber, no one was allowed to go except the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, on Yom HaKippurim. Rashi tells us that, well, this is from the Gemara, that Bezalel, who was in charge of forming and building all of these vessels and these objects, he decided to make the Oren, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded that it should be gold on the outside and gold on the inside. It should be made of wood, but it should be overlaid with gold on the outside and gold on the inside. He decided that he will make Gimel Arenis, three arcs. He would make a gold one, and then a smaller wooden one, and then a smaller golden one. And he put the smallest one into the wooden one, and then he put both of those into the larger gold one. And then he would overlay the tops, and this way he would fulfill that it should be made out of atzei shitim, out of wood, but mibayisu bechutz titzapenu, but it should be gold on the outside and gold on the inside. We mentioned not long ago in a shir that there are a few questions asked here. One question is what did he have to do it in that manner for? Why didn't he just make it out of wood and then overlay the wood with gold? And this the Gurayi answers, because since the command was that it should be made from wood, if it would be overlaid with gold and the gold would be attached right to the wood itself, so no longer would that be plain wood. That would be a mixture of wood and gold. And since the commandment was it should be atzei shitim, made out of wood, so therefore Bezalel made one of wood alone. But then he made a smaller gold one, and he placed that inside, and then a larger gold one, which he placed both of them inside. And then he just overlaid the tops. But then another question is asked. Since it was completely overlaid with gold, and the wood was not apparent at all, you could not see the wood, so why was there a command to make the Oren out of wood at all? Let it all be made of gold, since that's all you saw, and gold is better than wood. So this, the Gurayi answers, it brings a medrash. It was made of gold because, excuse me, it was made of wood because this represented the Torah. The Urim, the purpose of the Urim was to hold the Torah. And the Torah is called an Eitz. It's called a tree. Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Bo. It is a tree of life for those who hold it. And therefore it had to be made from material from a tree. What's the difference between a tree, wood, and gold? The difference is because gold is a metal, a deposit, a mineral deposit in the earth. While a tree is something which is attached to the earth, and it grows. Deposits do not grow. And the Torah is something which also is attached. It's attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's alive. It's not something which is divorced from its source, like mineral deposits, but it's attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a person studies Torah, he's studying Torah right from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu never divorced himself from it. He never gave it away. But he was cholak mechokhmosei. The Gemara brings that when it comes to secular knowledge, and you see a wise person in secular knowledge, so then you make a brocha, asher nosan mechokhmosei lebos v'dom. He gave from his wisdom to human people. But when you see a wise person in Torah, then you say, asher cholak mechokhmosei lirei'ov. He imparted from his wisdom to those who fear him. Torah always is attached to its source, because Torah comes from the world above, and even when he gave it here, it was not detached. The fact is, it's brought in the Medrash, in this Parsha, that why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu now command that we should build a Mishkan? Well, one reason is because since we have the Sefer Torah now, Moshe just received it from Sinai, so we had to have a place to put it. But there's a deeper reason that the Medrash tells us. Because before the giving of the Torah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu stayed lamala. He stayed up high with the Torah. But now that he gave the Torah into this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came along with the Torah. Because he cannot be separated from it. So therefore he said, you must make a place for me also. So also the Migdosh, make a sanctuary, v'shachanti b'seichom, that I may dwell amongst you. So Torah is never detached from the Almighty. And that's why when one studies Torah, he studies Torah right from the mouth of the Almighty. Therefore, it's not similar to gold, it's similar to a tree that also is not detached from its source and constantly grows. Therefore, the command was that it should be made from eitz, from wood. If that's the case, so then we can ask a question from the other aspect. So then why was it made? Why did we need gold at all? And this, the answer is, it states, there's a pasuk that states, Erech yamim b'yemino, b'smolo eshev kovod. The Torah gives length of days from its right side, and from its left side it gives wealth and honor. Those who support Torah, and those who study Torah, they will have length of days and they will have wealth and honor. Length of days, that the Gemara says, refers to the next world, to days which are entirely long, because as long as a person lives in this world, but it's still a short time. So that's what the Torah gives. It gives a person the next world. But then in this world, it gives him wealth and it gives him honor. These are all attributes of the Torah. So the wood of the Urim, that represents length of days, because that's something that lives. And actually a tree lives longer than any other plant. The symbol of long life is a tree. A tree lives longer than any other plant, and many, many trees live even longer than people. So therefore, the wood, that represented the length of days. The gold, that represented wealth and honor, because gold is both wealth and it's also honor, because gold is a rare, precious material. And the reason why the wood was concealed because the length of days is concealed, because that goes into the next world, something we cannot see from this world. But the gold, the honor and the wealth, that's for this world. That's why that was revealed. So this explains to us why it had to be made out of wood, and pure wood. Therefore, it could not be a mixture. Therefore, Bezalel had to make a separate wooden order, and at the same time also out of gold. And the wood was totally concealed and covered with the gold. Incidentally, the Gemara in Masechta Yuma, the Gemara brings another thing that we can learn from here. And this is the Gemara in Masechta Yuma. And Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis. Omar Ova, Kol Talmud Chochem, Shein Teche Kibarei, Ene Talmud Chochem. From here we also learn that it was not enough that it should just be gold from the outside, but also gold from the inside. From here we learn that a Talmud Chochem, because a Talmud Chochem has to emulate the Oren, because the Oren represented Torah, a Talmud Chochem must be Teche Kibarei, that his innermost thoughts must be the same as what's on the outside of him. In other words, he cannot be an Echod Bepeve, Echod Beleiv. He cannot think one thing and say another thing. What he says, this is what he must mean. Just like when you looked at the Oren and you saw gold on the outside, and it was also gold on the inside, when you look at the Talmud Chochem, he must have a good exterior, but also an equally good interior to go along with that. He must both have a presentable exterior and an equal interior to match that. And if not, then he's not a Talmud Chochem. He's not considered from the Torah scholars. Kol Talmud Chochem Shein Teche Kibarei is Lav Talmud Chochem. Now this Oren represented the most precious value in the Mishkan. Even though the Mishkan had many things, the Mishkan had a shulchan, it had a table of which breads were placed on it every week. It had a menorah, it had the candlesticks which were lit every day. It had a Mizbeach Azov, a golden altar. It had a Mizbeach Adoma. It had another altar. But the Oren represented the most precious value of the Mishkan. Where do we see this from? The Gemara in Yuma brings, and Daf Nun Dalet Omer Aleph. It's on Lamed Gimel. The Gemara in Yuma. Nine base on the base. Mora brings. Omer B'yechnan. B'yechnan says, Shleish Zirim Hein. If you recall that we said that it states that you shall make for it a golden crown. There are three crowns. Three objects that had crowns in the Mishkan. Shel Mizbeach, of the altar. That was the inner altar. Vishel Oren, of this Oren. Vishel Shulchan, of the Shulchan of the table. Shel Mizbeach, the Mizbeach which represented the sacrifices, Zocha Aaron, Unatole. Aaron went and he took it. The gift of the value of the sacrifices that went to Aaron and his children. Shel Shulchan, of the table represented physical and material power and wealth, Zocha David. This David HaMelech, King David, was Eichen. Unatole, and he took it. And that went to David and his children. So the first one was the crown of kahuna, of priesthood, and the second one was the crown of malchus, of kingship. Shel Oren, Eidayin Munachu. But of the Oren, which represented the crown of Torah, is still there. Kol Areitze Likach, Yove V'Yikach. Anyone who wants it, he can come and take. Shematema Pochusu. Perhaps you'll say it's less than the other two crowns. Talmud Lema Bi Malochim Yimlechu. The Torah says that I am the one that gives the right to kings to reign. Then the Rabbi Yechanan says it's called a zer, a crown, but it's spelled a zor. Zor, it's spelled the same way as zor is spelled. Zor means a stranger. Zocho. If you zeichen it, then it will be a crown. If you use it correctly, if it's not used correctly, then it will be a zor. It will be a stranger to you. It will become alien. So we see that this represented. We see that this represented the greatest crown of Klal Yisrael. Now this also is brought in the Medrash, and the Medrash adds a little. This is the wrong Medrash. Where is it? I need one on. The Medrash brings an Ar Parsha in Shmos Lamed Gimel. Gimel. Omer Reb Shimon Michoy. Reb Shimon Ben Michoy says, Gimel Ksorim Hein, there are three crowns, Keser Malchus, Keser Kuna, and Keser Torah. The crown of kingship, the crown of priesthood, and the crown of Torah. Keser Malchus, Yashulchan. The crown of kingship, this is represented by the table. The Ksiv Beis Zer Zohor Saviv, Torah says you shall make a crown for it. Keser Kuhuna, the crown of priesthood, Zeh Mizbeach, this is represented by the altar, the Ksiv Beis Zer Zohor Saviv, that you shall make a crown around it. Keser Torah, the crown of Torah, Zeh Oren, this is referred to the Oren, the Ksiv Beis Zer Zohor. You shall make a crown of it. Loma Nichtovim Zer V'Nikroim Zor, why is it written Zer? But why is it written as Zor, but it's called Zer? And this is the same drosha. If a person is Zecha, if a person merits it, if he uses it properly, it becomes a crown. If not, then it's against him. It becomes alien to him. Now the Medrash explains two questions that we have. It says, Bekulin ksiva sisa loy, or Be'orin ksiva sisa olov. By all of the other crowns, it says, Vasisale, you shall make for it. By the Oren, it says, Vasiso olov, you shall make on it. Why? To teach us that the crown of Torah is higher than all of the others. All of the others, it says, you shall make for it a crown. When it comes to the Oren, it says, Vasiso olov, you shall make on it. To tell us that this crown is higher than the other crowns. To teach us, Zocha Adam Leteira ki ilu Zocha Lekulam. If he wins, if he gains this crown of Torah, then he has gained all of the crowns. So that's one question that's answered. A second question that's answered, it states, V'osu Aaron Atzei Shitim. They shall make. V'osu. By all of the kelim, by all of the vessels and the objects, the states of Asiso, you shall make. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Meisha, you shall make. When it came to the Oren, there it states, the Osu, they shall make. Why? Why by all of the objects it states, you shall make, and by the Oren it says, they shall make. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Sholom, Omar Leah Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yavau Akol, because all of the others were not given to everyone. The Shulchan, that was for the David HaMelech and his family. The Mizbeach, the altar, that was for Aaron and his family. But this, which represented Torah, which was given to everyone, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'osu they shall make. Yavu ha'kol v'yis'asku k'dei sh'yisku kulam. Let everyone come and have a hand in it in order that they should all be zeicha. So here we see again the greatness of the Oren and the Torah. Now, from here we can understand a little in regards to the Kruvim, to the images of the children that were on top of the Oren. The Gemara brings in Yuma Daf Nun Dalet Omer Aleph Omar Rav Ketino. Rav Ketino said, "Bisho shohi Yisrael eilin l'regl." When Yisrael would come up, this was later on, after the time in the desert, they came to Yerushalayim, and there the Mishkan, the sanctuary, became the permanent Beis Hamikdash. This was in the time of Dovra Melech and Shlema Melech, King Solomon. Then, when the people used to come up 3 times a year, was a mitzvah to go up to Yerushalayim to bring sacrifices on the Yom Tovim and the Regolim, Shleish Regolim Bashona. So when Klal Yisrael would come up, Megalin Lahem Sapreches, they would open up the curtains which separated, which concealed the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Umarin Lahem Sakruvim, and they would show the people the Kruvim, the two children, Shehoya Meurim Zebezeh, they were holding each other. The two children were embracing each other. Ve'emrim lahem, and they would say, Ruuchi baschem lifnei hamokom kechiba zocher v'nekeva. See the great love which is between Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like the love of the male and the female. See, one was the image of a boy, and the other was an image of a girl. Now, the Kruvim represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The male was HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the female was Klal Yisrael. And they would see, they would be embracing each other. So this represented the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Baba Basra brings in Ansarik Teso Mar Aleph that it states, Bizman Shoyaisim Ritzeni Shel Mokom. When Klal Yisrael studied Torah and they fulfilled mitzvahs and they were good to each other, then the faces of the two children would be ponim al ponim. They would look at each other. But bizman she'ein eishim rechei shel mokom. But when they did not fulfill mitzvahs and study Torah, they were not good to each other, then the faces would turn away. A miracle would take place and they would turn away from each other. Because this represented that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns away from Klal Yisrael when they do not fulfill his mitzvahs. The Gemara actually asks, it states, Mesi v'Rav Chisda v'le yavou l'ireis kevala es HaKadosh v'omar av Yehuda mara b'shas achnosis kelim l'nirtak sholehem. It states that when we were traveling in the desert, so then we used to have to dismantle the entire Mishkan and carry it to a new place. And there we would set it up again. So everything had to be taken down and everything had to be placed, covered very carefully. It was covered, there were special covers for it. It was all covered by the Kahanim and then the Levim would come and carry it. So it states that when they took the Oren and the other Kelim, and they took the Oren and they covered it up, nobody was supposed to watch that, because that was supposed to be concealed. So the Gemara says, if it was supposed to be concealed, so how did we show this to the people when they came up during the Shleish Regolim? Omar of Nachman, Moshe Lekala, calls Man Shiva Beisavia Tznua Mibailo. An example with a Kala, a bride. As long as she lives in her father's home, she hasn't gone yet to her husband's home, so she's Tznua Mibailo. She's very modest from her Chosen. But once she goes into his home, then she does not conceal herself from him. When we were in the desert, we hadn't come into Eretz Yisrael yet, and the Torah was just given to us. So that was like the Kala was still in the house of her father. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you must conceal it. But later on, when we came into Eretz Yisrael, So then we were able to reveal it. So here we see that the Kruvim represented the Devekus, the closeness, the attachment of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. Now, why Dafke here? Why were the Kruvim to be built right over the Oren? And we see something else. Meshu would come into the sanctuary to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of the instructions would come in the Ohel Moed, in the sanctuary, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So where would Meshu hear it from? See, this whole Sefer and the next Sefer, Vayikra, consistently Meshu goes into the sanctuary to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where does he hear his voice? V'dibarti itcho me'al ha-kaporis. He would hear his voice come from the kaporis. That's the gold covering. B'bein shnei ha-kruvim. The voice would come from between these two children. Asher al arena edus, which is on top of the Oren. Eskol asher atzave eskoel b'nei Yisrael. All that I command you. Why did the voice come through here? The answer is because the most complete attachment that Klal Yisrael has to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only through Torah. But even though everything was represented in the Mishkan, Avoda, the Avoda of the Kohuna, service of the Kohanim, or the Malchus, the kingship, everything was represented. The menorah, which the menorah represented the Ner Mitzvah. Everything was represented in the Mishkan. But all of that could not bring a shleimus, a perfection of attachment of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That came only through Torah. Therefore, the symbol of the attachment, the two Kruvim, that was Dafke on the Oren. And therefore, the place of the Oren was in the most holiest place of the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And therefore, its crown was greater than all of the other crowns. And the voice of Torah, the voice of Hashem, came from the Oren through the Kruvim. This is a very important principle, because many times we think we can come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in other ways. There are other ways we can come close. And this is not true. The closest that a person can come to Hashem is through the study of Torah, like we see here. That's why its crown is greater than all of the crowns, and its place was further in the Beis HaMikdash. And this is the first object which we were commanded to make. And here were the Kruvim, which represented the closeness of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what we found all the time in the generations, that the great leaders, or the great Chachomim, who were close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they came close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through constant study of Torah day and night. Study of Torah, not through other ways. Today we live in very confused generations where in the whole world, where everyone has different ideas on how one can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way Klal Yisrael was given to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu was through Torah. And this is what is very clearly illustrated here. Now, this Keset Torah, this crown of Torah, and everything that it represents, is not only through the study of Torah, but we must say also through the support of Torah. One can gain this through studying Torah, but we must also admit because that's what we have many proofs to, that one can gain the same crown through the support of Torah, through the upholding of it, through the support of the study of Torah. Firstly, the Torah, why was the Oren made out of wood? Because the Medrash brings the pasuk, Eitz Chaim hi lemachazikim bo. It is a tree of life for those who uphold it. The sages darshan, Eitz Chaim hi lemachazikim bo, it is a tree of life for those who uphold it. Not only for those who study it, but those who support it. For those who support the study of Torah, it's also a tree of life. Secondly, we have the famous classical case of Yisachar and Zbulun. At the end of the Sefer Torah in Zeis HaBrocho, when Meisha gave brochas to all of the 12 tribes in Lamed Gimel Posuk Yud Ches, Vilizvulan Omar, he said to Zvulan, Smach Zvulan b'tzeisecho v'yisocher b'ayalecho, that Zvulan should rejoice Zvulan when you go out, and Yisachar in your tents. So Rashi explains, Zvulun v'Yisachar osu shutfus. Zvulun and Yisachar, they made a partnership. Zvulun l'chev yamim yishkein v'yeitze l'pakamachi b'sfinas. Zvulun, his people lived on the shores of the sea. And they used to love the sea and they loved business. And they used to go out into the sea in their boats for trade, for export and import, and they would make money. And they would take this money and they would sustain Yisachar with this. And Yisachar would sit in the tents and study Torah. They made a partnership. Yisachar said, we don't have time to learn. Zvulun said, we don't have time to learn because we're busy trading all day. Yisachar said, we don't have time to do business because we're busy studying all day. Yisachar were very clever people. There were 200 members of Yisachar that became the heads of Sanhedrins. All the difficult shilas they used to bring to Yisachar. So they made a partnership. They said, Zvulun said, we'll work and trade all day and half of what we make will go to you. And you study Torah all day. And half of your reward will come to us. So Meisha praised it. He said, Smach Zvulun v'tzeisecho, that Zvulun rejoice when you go out, v'yisachar be'alech, and Yisachar when you're in the tents. Zvulun rejoice because when you go out, you should know that from your trade you're getting Torah. So firstly we hear that there was a partnership, but we see something else. Who did he praise first? Who did he first give the bracha to? He first gave it to Zvulun. Zvulun were the traders. He says, Lefichach higdim Zvulun. He gave first priority to Zvulun. Shel teirosi shel Yisachar ayde Zvulun hayso. Because the Torah of Zvulun, the Torah of Yisachar came because of Zvulun. Gave him priority. And we see, consistently we see, for example, when it came to marching, first went Yehuda because Yehuda was the king. Next went Yisachar because they were the Balei Torah, and immediately afterwards came Zvulun. Or when it came to the Nesim, when they brought the Korbonis to anoint the altar, it was also in that order. Actually, the Gemara brings in the first Mishnah, Masechta Zvochim, the Mishnah brings a halacha from Shimon Achi Azaryo, Shimon the brother of Azaryo. So Rashi asks here, why is he called Shimon the brother of Azaryo? So he brings Al Shem She Azaryo Osek Bekpakamacho Vesipik Tzorche Shimon Ochiv. Because Azariah, he was a businessman. And they made the same type of agreement that he would work and he would support his brother studying Torah. And So therefore he was called Lefichoch Nikra al Shmei Shalom al Yodai. Therefore he was always called Shimon Ache Azariah, Shimon the brother of Azariah, because the Torah of Shimon came through Azariah. So we see that when we speak of the crown of Torah, it's either those who attain it through the study of Torah, or those who attain it by supporting those who study Torah. From here also we see, we can understand something else. When they would move from place to place, and they would carry all of the Kli HaMikdash, all of the vessels and objects of the sanctuary, generally it was carried on wagons. It was pulled in wagons which were drawn by oxen. An exception to this was the Oren. Torah tells us later on, and the Rambam brings it at the end of Perek Beis of Kli HaMikdash, Be'eshem Elichin Asa Oren Mimokem Lemokem. At the time when they were carrying the Oren from one place to the other, Ein Melichin Esei Le'al Behem Ve'Le'al Agolis. You were not allowed to carry it, not on animals, not on wagons. Ala mitzvah le'naitle ala kesef. Be'kesef Yisau, be'kosev Yisau, that they had to carry the Levim, who carried the Oren, had to carry it on their shoulders. We find later on, by the end, when we were anointing the altar, so all of the families of the Levim were given wagons, but not the family which had to carry the Oren, because they had to carry it on their shoulders. Ulefishi shochach David v'nosa ala agola nifrat teres buza. In the Tanakh, if you recall, the Oren was being carried on a wagon drawn by oxen, and it fell, and a great disaster took place. This was during the time of Dovid HaMelech. So the Rambam brings that the reason why it took place is because Dovid forgot that halacha. He forgot that the halacha was that the Oren had to be carried dafke on the shoulders of the people, not on any wagons. So a simple explanation is because when you carry other objects which represented other facets of serving Hashem, it could be carried through mediums, it could be carried through animals, it could be carried through wagons. But when you carry the Torah itself, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want any mediums. He wanted that the people themselves should carry it on their shoulders. No mediums. Because this was the highest form and the closest form of coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, because of Yisau, they had to carry it on their shoulders. That's one halacha. Then there's another halacha. This we learned when we read over the parsha. Kishenasi may say ala kosef, when they would carry it on their shoulders, so they would carry it by the staves. As we read, there were two staves that were made and placed through the rings of the Oren. Nasim ponim keneged ponim, b'achureim l'chutz p'neim lifnim. The people that would carry it, they would face each other. V'nizorim sh'le'yishmetu abari min atabes. But they must be careful that the staves must never come out of the rings. Sh'hameser echon min habari min atabes atabos leka. And anyone who takes, says lo yosiru mimenu leilam, anyone who takes the staves out of the rings would be guilty of malchus, of corporal punishment of lashes. Shenemar, as it states, betabes o oron yu abadim lo yosiru mimenu. In the rings of the Oren, the staves shall always remain. You are not allowed to take it out. Now the Torah doesn't tell us why, and only by the Oren is this halacha that the staves can never be removed. And if you remove the staves, then it's a leisaser. You've transgressed the negative commandment. Torah doesn't tell us why. I heard from, actually he said it here in the yeshiva, Rabbi Eloy, he once heard the Chofetz Chaim speak, Zichrein Levrocha. And the Chofetz Chaim said, the reason for this halacha is because the Oren was carried from place to place. Then it was put into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Its place was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. By rights, the staves should be removed. Because the Torah Only the Torah had the schus to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Nothing else was kept in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Just the Torah and the tablets. There were a few exceptions of various things that were supposed to be a remembrance for generations. But basically, only the Torah was kept in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So by rights, the staves should be removed. Because the staves were merely the instruments to carry the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But if the staves were removed, then there would be a complaint. The staves could complain, here we carry the Torah. Why shouldn't we have as great a place, as honorable a place, as the Torah itself? Because we carry the Torah. And it states, Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Bo, that it's an Eitz Chaim, it's a tree of life, not only for those who study the Torah, but for those who carry the Torah also. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Le'yosuru Mimenu. The staves, even though they've already carried the Torah, they deserve the same place of honor as the Torah itself. Therefore, the staves must remain together with the Oran. This is what we're saying. Because those who study the Torah can gain the crown of Torah, and those who support those who study the Torah can also gain it. This is what Rabbi Eloy heard from the Chofetz Chaim, Zichron Livracha. To go further, to give us an idea of just how important the Oran was. Mishanitl Oran, Evan Hoyes Osham, Mimais Nvim Rishainim, Ushasio Hoyes on Nikreis. Where was the Oren placed when there was the permanent Beis HaMikdash? When there was the permanent Beis HaMikdash, there was a stone on Har HaBayis, on the mountain where the Beis HaMikdash stood, there was a stone. And this stone was from the time of the Nevi'im Rishonim, from the early prophets, that's from David and Shlomo, from King David and King Solomon. And it was called Shasiyah, Evan Shasiyah. It protruded from the earth just the width of three fingers. So it did not protrude very high. It was a flat stone. And it was on this stone that the Oren was placed. Actually, according to one opinion in the Gemara, this is how the Rambam brings, the Oren was... When the Goyim came, Bovel came and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and they took everything with them, the Oren was never taken. When the Beis HaMikdash was built, they built subterranean caverns that the Oren could be concealed. And it's concealed, and we never, during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, we did not have the Oren. It did not reveal itself. It will reveal itself again when we have the third Beis HaMikdash in the time of the Melech HaMashiach. But when we had it, it was placed on this stone. The Gemara brings in Anun Dalet Amud Beis, Tano Shemimena Hushasa Elam. Why is it called Evan Shasiyah? The word Shasiyah comes from the word Shesi. Shesi means to weave. Because from here HaKadosh Baruch Hu wove the world. When he made the world, he first made a little cord. And then he wove an entire world around this. So that little cord was this stone. This is why it's called Evan Shasiyah. From here the world was woven. And this goes according to the opinion that the world began in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. That was the center of the world. And from there HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the rest of the world. So we see that the place that the Oren found itself was right at the beginning, at the core of the world. So this could be a reason why we were commanded to make the Oren first. The Medrash goes deeper into this. Medrash tells us on Lamed Gimel Beis. The Medrash says, Lamedalid Beis, it should be. Lamedalid Beis. Mahatera, Kedum Lechol, Kach Bemaisa Hamishkon, Higdimesa Oren Lechol Akili. The reason why the Oren was the first object to be made is because just like Torah was created before the world, so therefore the Oren also had to be made before the rest of the Mishkan, before the rest of the sanctuary. Maho Or, Kodem Lechol Maisa Breshis, Dixi Vayem Elekim Yi Or, just like light was the first thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, after Mishkan Atayre Shenikres Or. So when it came for the Mishkan, light was created first. What was light? Torah. Dixiv kiner mitzvah v'teira or kodma ma'aseh l'chol hakelim. So the Medrash brings two reasons. Torah was created before the world. Therefore the Mishkan, which also resembled a small world, so the Oren was to be built first. Light was created. Light, vayhi or, let there be light. This was the first creation in the physical world. So when it came to the Mishkan, light also had to be created first. What light? The light of Torah. Torah is called light, as it states, Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. Then the Medrash tells us in Parshas Vayakhel, Simen Nun Os Aleph, B'shoshibora HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olamai, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and it was darkness, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer HaOr Bora Tchila, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, when he created the world and it was all darkness, so Rabbi Yehuda said HaOr Bora Tchila, first he created light and then he created the world. Moshel Lemelech Shebikesh Livnais Paltin, for example, if a king wants to create a great palace, Hoyamokam Eiffel, and it was all dark, Ma also, what does he do? Hidlik Neris Upanzin Leida Hea Hukavea Dimusim. So first he lights up many torches in order that he can see, and then he builds his palace. So did HaKadosh Baruch Hu first create light, and then he built the rest of the world. This is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Then the Gemara brings Shol Reb Shimon Meyotzodik es Reb Shmuel Ben Nachman. Reb Shimon Meyotzodik es Reb Shmuel Ben Nachman. Omer Reb Shmuel Shemati Alecha Shato Bal Agoda Mehechen Nivres Ha'ira. I understand that you're very wise in Agodas Hashas. Perhaps you can tell me, where did the light come from? Omer Nisate Vakorish Borchu B'Salmo V'Hivi Ka'elon Mizivyoi Mireshe V'Atsefe. Hakorish Borchu put on his mantle, his garment, and from there came out a light which went through the world from the beginning to the end, as it states, Ote Or Kesalma V'Ahakach Neite Shomayim Ki Yirio. This is why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded that the Mishkan should be made, so first was to create the Oren, which represented Torah, and Torah is light. And actually we see even further. The Chazal tell us the whole Beis HaMikdash was referred to as the light of the world. This is a Gemara in Baba Basra. And Torah is called light, Ki Torah Or. And the Orem, the Orem, the Chazal tell us, comes from the word Or, light. And light, the source of light, of this spiritual light, comes from where the Beis HaMikdash was built. So therefore, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu first created light in the world, so in the Mishkan also he first created light, so this was the Torah, this was the Oren. This that we say that Torah is light, what does this mean? when the Almighty created the physical world, the greatest force created was that of the sun. As it states that the sun is the Mor HaGodl. See, the sun is the great light, and he gave over to the sun the power of the sovereignty that the sun should rule the physical world. And we see it does. We see the whole physical universe is controlled by the sun. The movement of the universe, the seasons, the whole solar system is all controlled by the sun, because the sun is the melech, the sun is the physical king of the physical universe. And this is what the sages say, Vayehi Or. He said, let there be sun, let there be light. And we have many cases where darkness is associated with death. We have many sources. Darkness is associated with death. Light is associated with life. And the light of the sun gives physical life. All energy comes from the sun. All warmth comes from the sun. Growth, plants grow because of the sun. So the light which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought into this world, this represents physical life. Now, just as there's a physical light, and in the absence of this light, there's darkness. If there's darkness, if there's no sun, there would be no warmth, there would be no growth, there would be no energy. Sustenance that life eats comes from the sun. Just as there's this physical light and physical darkness, so is there a spiritual light and a spiritual darkness. And the spiritual light, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, that was the Torah. And therefore that gives spiritual life, that gives spiritual substance and sustenance. And the lack of this light, so this is darkness. This is like a spiritual death. Actually, it's brought that before the creation, there was dark. The Cheshech al Pnei Tahom. Before the creation, it was total darkness. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to create a light, a substance of light. So in this world was a physical light. But its source already was a spiritual light. And that was the light of the Torah. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he makes things that go through all of the worlds and relates itself accordingly to each level. This is why everything that's related to Torah is referred to as a light. A mitzvah of the Torah is referred to as a candle. That's an individual light. Ner mitzvah. Torah or the Torah itself is all light. The Torah was kept in the Or, which comes from the word Or, all light. And the wisdom that comes to a person from Torah is also a light. States Chochmas Odom Teir Ponov. The light of a person's face represents his wisdom. The neshama, the soul, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, also represents a light. This is why that as a remembrance of a soul, we light a candle. So this is all this spiritual light which came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself into the world. Like the Medrash tells us, where did this light come from? HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on his garment, and from there it went into the world. Because the Torah and the souls come right from him. We mentioned Shabbos a few weeks ago. The Chassam Sefer brings... Could you just hand me a siddur, please? Yeah. When we make brochas in the morning, or in the evening before Krishna, so first we make a brocho. And Yetzirah Me'eres. There we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating the physical lights. Then we make a brocho. And Or Chodosh Al Tzion To'ir. That a new light should come to Eretz Yisrael. This is the light of the Mashiach. And then we make a brocho on the Or of Torah, the light of Torah. That you should lighten up our eyes with Torah. So this is all on this continuity of light, physical light, and then its higher source, the spiritual light. And a person must recognize the physical lights come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then from there he can understand that the spiritual lights also come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This means that if a person goes in the light of Torah, if a person goes according to the wisdom of Torah, then his way is lit up for him. If a person walks without Torah, then he walks in darkness. Just as if he would walk with a candle, there would be light for him. If he walks without a candle, there would be darkness for him. And this is what is written in Mishlei, Ksil b'cheshech eilech, that a fool, he walks in darkness. What does this mean? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the seichel, the intellect to the person, as a light to the person. And when he fills it with Torah, it lights his way for him. If a person does not walk with this intelligence, with this intellect, then he walks in darkness. A fool walks in darkness. There's a Mishnah in Masechet Avos. Near the end of the first perek, Mishnah Tezayin, that states Ram Gamlil Eimer, Ram Gamlil says, Asi lecho rav, you shall make for yourself a rav. A person must have a rebbe, Yistalek min hasofik, and you should withdraw yourself from doubts, Ve'al tarbe la'aser u'modish. And when you give the portion of your grains that you were supposed to give to the levi, you must measure it exactly. You shouldn't take it through an approximate assessment. The morale brings, what's Ram Gamlil teaching us? He says that a person, since he's a bal seichel, he was given seichel, he's not an animal. What's the difference between a person and an animal? The animal was not given intellect, the man was. Since man was given intellect, kol ma'isov, all of his deeds must be borur, must be in a way of certainty. People who are all of the time undecided, people who are all of the time confused, they're in doubt. He says they are falling from the level of man. You have, especially in every generation, that this is a plague which is very strong in our generation. You have people go around in confusion. Constant instability. They start one thing, they stop it, and they start a second. They go to a second thing, they stop it, they go to a third. Whatever they're doing, they're not sure if they should be doing it. They do one thing and they see someone else doing something else, so they want to do something else. They do that and they see a third person doing something else, and so on. They go from one place to the other, to the other. We're a very moving society. People move. They change places. They change lands. They change jobs. They change careers. They change schools. They change yeshivas and so forth and so on. It's a very unstable society. And psychologists and sociologists have noted this. a tremendous amount of instability, of indecision. Chazal tell us that someone who is undecided, this brings depression. This is something also that our generation suffers from depression. And people wonder, why is there so much depression? Ein simcha ka'atoras asveikas. The greatest rejoicing is when you resolve your doubts. This is what the Chazal tell us. So what do we see? Resolution of doubts. This brings rejoicing. Leaving doubts not resolved, then this will be contrary to rejoicing. This will bring depression. The constant inner struggle. Am I doing right? Should I be doing this, or maybe I should be doing that? Erosion of self-confidence. Insecurities. This destroys a person. This brings tremendous sadness and depression and everything else that goes with it. So the Mal explains why. Because the Odom, man, was given a light. He was given a mind. Just as the world was given a physical light, man was given a spiritual light. And that light is to light his way. An animal was given no light. If man is in darkness, if he's confused, then he mikrei odom, then he's not a man. He's not acting as a man. He falls to the level of an animal. And the manhood in him becomes destroyed. And this is why he's projected into a state of depression, of sadness. Many times he has a decision and he cannot come to the decision. All of a sudden he has the answer. It's depicted as a light. It's resolved. There's an uplifting. Because now he's an Odom Bishleimus. He's a man in his fullness again. He's using his mind. Therefore, a person must be careful that Kol Maisov, all of his acts are brooding, are done with a certainty. How do you do that? So Rav Gamliel says, he tells us three things. Asi l'chorav. When it comes to Torah, you must have a Rebbe. A person must go and learn by a Rebbe. Otherwise, he's constantly wondering, is this the right interpretation? Is this the right definition? Is this right or wrong? He must have a Rebbe that he can come to and study by and bring his shailas when he has in doubt and rely on his Rebbe then. And then it'll be brooding. Oh, he knows what to do. He knows what's right and he knows what's left. That's one area. There's a second area. There are certain areas in life, this is very important, there are certain areas in life that wisdom doesn't help. A Rebbe helps in areas of life where wisdom can assist. You need an etzer. You need advice. You have a shaila. But there's another area in life where wisdom will not help. For example, there are certain things that are beyond wisdom of people. Let's say a person wants to invest. He wants to make an investment. All right, he can, to a certain point, he can calculate the risk involved to a certain point. But beyond that, who knows what's going to happen? He wants to buy a shop. Hey, that's a good area. That's a good product. At this point, people have money. They need the product. It looks like a good risk. But beyond that, maybe there'll be a shift in neighborhoods. Maybe a recession will come. Maybe a new product will come on the market. Beyond that, wisdom won't help anymore. Or, for example, there are certain areas that are dependent. There are other areas which are dependent in mazel. For example, a person wants to gamble. but he wants to speculate in stocks in those areas. Then if he has a clarity, he should do it. Beyond that, he's talek min hasofik. Talek min hasofik, he says. Stay away from it. If there's a clarity, a good clarity to the point, then he should do it. If it comes to the point where it's just a matter of luck, then he's talek min hasofik. That's not for a person. Because when a person gets involved, if it's a business investment and the calculations are good, alright, then he has to do it, and the rest he relies on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if it's something which is only dependent on, it's not dependent on good calculations at all, it's only dependent on mazel or other such things, then a person shouldn't get involved. Istalik min asofik. Because that's not for a person. A person must always go with intelligence. He must not throw his luck into the wind. And then the third area is altar belasu imodis, even when he does mitzvahs. Even when he does mitzvahs, it must also be with an exactness, with a definite approach, not a little here or a little there. He should not approximate it, but it should be definite. These are the areas that Rabbi Gamliel is telling us. So the Maral writes, when a person conducts his life in this manner, this is a great perfection to him. Because there are many, many shortcomings that comes to a person when his deeds are not built in a definite way. Especially that man was created with a seichel, with an intelligence, shia maisov nimshochim achar haseichel aboru, that all his acts should be in accordance to the intelligence that he has. It's a very important principle. And therefore, a person must know. Kodesh Baruch Hu brought light into the world. He brought a physical light and he brought a spiritual light. And he gave this light to man. And man has to endeavor all of the time, every day, to lighten his way, that what he does is in accordance to his intelligence. Not because today he heard from one person this way and tomorrow he hears from another person another way. Or constant indecisiveness. Or constant lack of confidence or insecurity or so forth. If he does it this way, then this is light. And light is the substance of life that was given to the world. If he doesn't do it this way, then he should know he walks in darkness. Darkness is the lack of all substance. That's associated with death. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech said, "Ksil b'cheshek ha'ilech." The fool who does not use his mind, he does not use the wisdom of Torah or the wisdom of a teacher, but he merely goes without thinking, or he does things without thinking, or he merely relies on luck, that's a ksil. He walks in cheshek, he walks in darkness. And darkness is just the opposite of life. And from here comes tremendous pitfalls, depressions, and everything else that goes with it. This is why Ein Simcha Kahatoras Asfilkas. The greatest rejoicing comes when a person's doubts are resolved. A person's duty in this world is to constantly try to bring more light into his ways. This is why that when it came to the building of the Mishkan, the first object was the Oren. Because the Oren was the place of the Torah. And the Torah is the light of the world. And just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the physical world, first he said, let there be light so we can see. Like a king wants to build a palace, first he has to light up the area. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, build the Mishkan, he said, first there must be light. And this was the greatest light. And this is occupied the greatest place, it represented the greatest crown, and represented the highest level of Klal Yisrael that attached itself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is why the two Kruvim, the two
the images of the little boy and little girl were placed on top of the Orem, and through the Orem and the Kruvim came the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I once heard from the great Rabban Kotler Zichreinu Livracha that he said, from here we learn a person wants to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The greatest closeness comes through the Orem, through Torah. This represented the attachment of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This gives us some insights into the Orem HaKadosh, which held the Sefer Torah and the Luchei Sabris.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.